Let's see how this goes. Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back. I'm your host, Mike, and like always, I'm here with my brothers, Rich and Raymond. And this is Inside Flicks, and this is a podcast where we get a chance to come together and talk about our favorite subject, which is most of the time it's movies. We like to review movies. But this episode, we're going to take a look at two older films that have recently been making some waves because of the current coronavirus crisis. And of course, I'm talking about the pandemic thrillers, 2011's Contagion and 1995's Outbreak. Now, Contagion has been climbing up the iTunes charts in the last few weeks. It's been one of the most popular movie rentals in the past month. Same thing can be said about Outbreak. It's currently available to stream on Netflix, and it too has been ranking high on the most watched list. There also have been a number of recent articles written about both Contagion and Outbreak. So there's a newfound interest, and people have been galvanized around these films. They wanted to rewatch them. And we said to ourselves, why not us too? There's been a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube videos of people reviewing these movies. We they were talking at great lengths about the themes and the ideas and the accuracies. And, you know, we're just the latest guys who want to get in on the fun. We want to break these two films down in a fun and in-depth way. And we're going to be pitting these two films against each other in a little showdown, that something that we are calling Cinema Thunderdome. So Raymond, explain what is Cinema Thunderdome for us.
All right. Two movies enter, one movie leaves. Basically, we are going to review Contagion and Outbreak, but break them down through several categories. During each category, each of us will reward the film points. So after all the categories are said and done, the film with the most points is the winner. Simple enough.
Yeah, I think that's give you a general idea of what we're going to do here. All right, Raymond, name off the categories.
Originality, 10 points. Directing, 10 points. Acting, 10 points. Storyline, 10 points. Best scene showdown, 15 points. Best death scene, 15 points.
And the best scene and the best death scene are going to be chosen by us. We're each going to nominate what we think are the film's best scenes and best film death scenes. And from there, we will reward points. And I'm not sure if that made sense, but well, let's proceed and we'll learn together as we go along. Before we start, though, let's predictions. Do anyone want to predict who will be the winner at this moment?
It's clearly Contagion.
Yeah, for me, I think Contagion might have the upper hand. But don't count out Outbreak. I think it might pick up some more points than you might expect.
Especially for me.
Yes, true.
Yeah, so before we get into the categories, let's begin with some quick summary reviews of each film. Rich, do us the honors and describe Contagion for us as simply as you can.
Well, as Steven Soderbergh's all-star virus disaster thriller that may have predicted our current situation.
It was a groundbreaking ceremony for a new factory.
Did she mention seeing anyone who was sick? Anyone on a plane at the airport?
No, she said she was jet lagged.
Made back in 2011, Gwyneth Paltrow is basically patient zero of a global pandemic that ends up ravaging the lives of people around the world, including a Minnesota family man played by Matt Damon, a CDC supervisor played by Lawrence Fishburne, an epidemic intelligence service investigator played by Kate Winslet, a research scientist played by Jennifer Ely, a conspiracy theorist blogger played by Jude Law, a World Health Organization epidemiologist played by Marion Cotillard, and a custodian played by John Hawkes.
The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Beth! Mom? No, go up to your room, honey.
So we have a virus with no treatment protocol and no vaccine at this time.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth.
She had a history of seizures. No. Allergies.
As of last night, there were 32 cases.
Unfortunately, she did die.
Right. Can I go talk to her?
Mr. Amoff, your wife is dead.
What are you talking about? Okay. What happened to her? What happened to her?
Basically, the film focuses on the people on the ground, the people who are the front lines of a rapidly spreading pandemic. In this case, it's the MEV1 virus, which is a fictional disease inspired by the 2009 influenza outbreak of H1N1. otherwise known as the swine flu.
Who wants to start it off?
All right, I'll go.
All right, go for it.
Okay, Contagion. Well, I remember actually seeing this movie in theaters back when it was released.
You did?
And I was actually slightly disappointed by the movie. I thought it was good, but it's like a movie that I honestly haven't revisited until just recently.
And you never saw Outbreak, right, back then?
No.
Okay.
Contagion, though, I remember specifically having a issue with the movie that I thought it was just a little too, you know, just not enough focus on the characters. Mm-hmm. And the movie was all over the place. This was back then.
Yeah, you were a fan of Soderbergh back then, right? This is why you went to go see it, because of Soderbergh?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. that's why I went to go see it, because I was a big fan of his work. But I was overall a little disappointed by the movie. And I remember specifically back then having an issue with the Jude Law character. I was like, oh, that,
oh wow,
that
really?
I was like, that wouldn't happen in real life. And it's funny because now they're revisiting the movie, especially seeing the Jude Law character again, because that's so accurate to what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But also revisiting the movie, I just had a big appreciation for it, because it's not maybe super focused on the character at times, but it's not really about the characters. It's about, you know, this epidemic and, you know, containing it. And all these different perspectives and how it affects the globe. And it's a really great movie. I think it is a movie, though, that would probably work better as like a 4 or 5 episode miniseries.
Yeah.
But it is a great film. And I think what made me really appreciate it again is now is that last year we got that really amazing underrated Adam Driver film from Amazon, The Report.
It was done by the same writer, Scott Z. Burns.
That makes a lot of sense, because one of the things that made The Report so great was that it wasn't really a movie that was focused on, like, you know, this fake drama, you know, like a movie we'll talk about later today. it's not a movie that was focused on fake drama. It was focused about, you know, the report and about, you know, everything that went on with it and getting the information. It wasn't about the characters. It was about the situation. And that's exactly what Contagion is. You know, it's about
the process. Yeah.
About the process, about the epidemic. It's not about, you know, fake drama. And it's something I really appreciated rewatching the movie.
No, there was some fake drama. Well, I'm calling it melodrama.
The fake drama in it, I thought, worked.
Yeah, it was mostly Matt Damon and his daughter. I mean, yeah.
We'll talk about it in the categories a little later. But I mean that scene with Matt Damon and Doctor, fantastic. I mean, that's probably some of the best
Damon's
done since the 90s.
Oh, interesting. I didn't really appreciate. Well, let me.
Oh, I'll start that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do my quick review. You know, this, unlike Raymond, you know, I didn't see this when it first came out.
Right.
This was my
I wanted to back then, but
yeah, it was something that
we just basically skipped it. That's all.
Yeah, this was me and Rich's first time watching the movie, and we heard of it. We just missed it. And it was strange watching it. It's strange watching it now, knowing what the world is going through with the coronavirus, and I think I think when it came out, people like Raymond thought it was simply just a thriller about this, you know, heightened reality. And but no, this is a very real thing. And it feels like a documentary, or has this documentary style to it. And it's strange. I never heard of a movie that became more valuable, more effective, you know, more legitimate years after the original release. Like, most films lose their legitimacy after decades, you know. For example, The Exorcist. Now, The Exorcist is a great horror movie, but at the time it was like, it scared the people, you know,
into theaters.
Yeah, like people were throwing up in the aisles, and it was like something that was so you felt it in your bones when you saw that movie at the time. Now people mm-hmm. think of it as just, you know, a great horror, a classic horror movie. And this is like the opposite of that. Now people are feeling that this movie is like a horror movie that gets into people's bones years after it was released. So it's strange. It's like the reverse of that. And I never heard of a movie that has done that. We recently did our top 10 films of the past decade. And I probably would have put this on. Well, at this point, I would have definitely put it up on that list.
Really? And, wow.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to because it's
honorable mentions, maybe.
I think you have to because it's a movie that is such of this time. It's like it came out like maybe, you know, it came out eight years too early, basically. And the tension in the film is so palpable, and it's a prophetic piece of work that feels extremely authentic, and and it does feel like, you know, and it also does feel like an old school disaster film because of all the stars, all the actors there, all the big names. But it is a ruthless film, a ruthless procedural, and it's cold in a clinical way, and I found that very, very captivating. Yeah, I really, really love this movie. This was especially going through it at the same time, going through this pandemic that we're going through in this world at this time. So it feels almost fiction is mirroring real life, you know, mirrored real life. It feels almost like we're living in this some kind of a bizarro world together, you know. So, I thought that was a really strong movie. Rich, what's your review? Your quick review of this.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, I mean, this is a movie that, you know, I probably DVR'd this movie and I kept it in my DVR for you for months. And it just got erased.
Yeah.
So we never got around seeing it. But yeah, like you, I'm saying this movie is a great film, but I wouldn't put it into my top 10 of the decade.
I think you have to because it's such a.
Well, now, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, you that's what I'm saying.
Because, yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
it's
I'm saying.
It's definitely an eye open film now. Yeah, that's one. But the performances were great in the film. And also, what I really liked in the film at the very beginning was the score. Cliff Martinez, yeah. Man. This is the same year he did Drive, your film that made the decade list. And I think he's a underrated composer. And it was such a great, not necessarily. I mean, he's more of a, I mean, Trent Reznor gets more praise than Hitman.
Yeah,
and he's been in the game a lot longer
than
him. And,
I think he's a composer's composer, but yeah. Definitely this score was pulsating like a heartbeat. You know, it made the movie kind of it was like the film's heartbeat in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were some great performances in, but we'll get that into that more
when we get to the categories. Yeah.
But overall, this was a good film by Steven Soderbergh, who was on a roll back then. I mean, I really loved the Out of Sight and.
What did you watch Informant?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I didn't really like that one. You're right, I didn't.
No, but it's the same team. It's Soderbergh and Scott Z. Burns. I think that was the film prior to this. And I didn't see Informant, but apparently there's a scene in there where Matt Damon stars in that movie too. And there's a scene in there. This is according to Scott Z. Burns, and I saw an interview with him. And there's a scene where someone coughs into the telephone. And Matt Damon has to take the telephone, and he goes on to saying, "Oh, I'm gonna get sick, and I'm gonna get my kids sick because of this."
Now what happens? Something you breathe in on an airplane. Some little bacteria, and now it's in his hands, the cup, the phone. Probably got it from his kids, and now I'll spend the weekend with it in bed. And I'll miss a few days next week, or Alexander will run a fever, and who pays for that? Where does the FBI weigh in on that as a cooperating witness? What does it say about exposure to airborne contaminants?
And I guess that was the germ, or if you will, that kind of sparked the idea of contagion. And when Informant was over, Soderbergh went to Burns and said, so you got anything else you're thinking of? And he goes, well, actually, I'm thinking about this pandemic kind of idea. And he goes, yeah, that sounds great. Write it up and let's do it. And so it kind of all, you know, because these two have been working together for a couple movies. They did Side Effects.
Side Effects.
And they just did The Laundromat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Laundromat. Netflix.
Yeah, they just did that. So they have been continuing doing their collaboration. And they're a really good team. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on to Outbreak. Real quick, Rich, just describe the film as fast as you can.
Well, unlike Contagion, this is an old-fashioned Hollywood thriller from German-born action director Wolfgang Petersen, who's best known for Das Boot, The Perfect Storm, Troy, and, of course, Air Force One.
In a remote African jungle, a small monkey is captured, bound for a pet store in America. The animal carries a deadly virus.
Made in 1995, Dustin Hoffman stars as a veteran U.S. Army virologist who runs a military unit of research scientists and medical officers. He and his team, played by Rene Russo, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Raymond's favorite actor, Kevin Spacey, are tasked with stopping a mysterious, deadly African-based virus. They try to investigate its origins and figure out how it got onto U.S. soil. It's mostly set in the fictional town of Cedar Creek, California. And the film asks, what if an Ebola-like virus was found in a small American town? And to what lengths would the U.S. military go to contain that virus and stop it from spreading?
Your town is being quarantined.
We got 19 dead. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a brush fire.
What are you talking about?
If one of them's got it, then 10 of them have got it now. And if one of them gets out of Cedar Creek, we have a very interesting problem.
If that bug gets out of there, 260 million Americans will be dead or dying.
I'm leaving with the team in an hour.
From the heart of a small California town.
Damn it, Sam. I want to save these people same as you.
To the inner circle of power in Washington. The greatest medical crisis of all time.
We can't stop it.
Begins.
Try to remain calm.
Many people are dying and are going to continue to die unless we find this monkey.
There will be panic the likes of which we have never seen.
There you are.
The film is loosely based on the best-selling nonfiction book, The Hot Zone, by Richard Preston. And the film's fictional virus is Matoba, which was inspired by the real life cases of the Ebola outbreak in parts of Africa.
So I'll start it up. Outbreak, yeah, like Rich was saying, it's a little bit different than Contagion. Yeah, this is an old school 1990s thriller that tries to rework the tropes of a disaster film. It does have some similarities with Contagion. They both revolve around the idea of trying to retrace the origins of the virus in an attempt to like kind of fully understand it. The heroes in this film are also scientists, so there is some similarities, but it is a totally different era.
It's a totally different direction.
This is straight out studio picture. Look, this movie I watched when I was young. This is and I loved it back then, and we quoted from it and. We still quote from it. I mean, if anyone gets sick in our family, we call them the outbreak monkey. You know, if someone starts sneezing in our family, we go, oh, get away from me. You're the outbreak monkey, you know. So it's something that we certainly it's a film that certainly is a part of my childhood. But I haven't seen this movie for a very long time. And so after rewatching it, it does feel dated. But it very much feels like a fossil stuck in amber, you know, so it's so I could appreciate it for what it is. And, you know, it has this cool, you know, it does have this cool 1990s thriller with cheesy dialogue, cheesy action sequences, but there's strong acting in here and strong moments of tension and horror. And yeah, okay, the script really relies heavily on basic character arcs and standard genre elements, but I can't help but feel satisfied with the film, and that's how I feel. Rich, what's your take?
Well, unlike Contagion, this is a totally well. This is a great great direction from Wolfgang Petersen, because this is a perfect melodramatic take on filmmaking. This is more of like a television movie back then. This is he took this in a total different direction than what he usually did, because he just did
In the Line of Fire,
his best movie. In the Line of Fire, the best movie of his career, I think. And I think he actually approached Clint Eastwood for this role.
Of
course, you know. Yeah, I mean, the studio tried attaching Robert Redford, but they were Robert Redford was attached to the other movie.
Zone. You heard this story? That there was a competing a film project
By Fox,
right?
And this is a Warner
Brothers. Robert Redford was attached to it, and I guess they were trying to get Robert Redford to come off that project and go onto this project, onto the Outbreak project. And
they instead went towards Harrison Ford, who I think he agreed on it at first, but then obviously turned it down or something, scheduling conflict. But they went, the role eventually landed to Dustin Hoffman, who they had totally had to rewrite a little.
Dustin Hoffman, the action hero.
I mean, this, you could totally tell this was a Harrison Ford part, especially where Dustin Hoffman's jumping off the helicopter onto the ship,
and then the thumbs up.
He did a great job anyway. But again, to the direction, this is a great melodramatic approach to filmmaking. No one could direct it like this. I mean, this is such a difficult way to pay, to get this, you know, to make it as movie type of film making pay off.
Okay, I see what you mean.
And because he does it a little bit in Air Force One, but not as much as this on this film. I mean, every shot he ends it with a melodramatic shot, especially like the monkey scene. I liked it back then, and I like it now. Yeah,
but do you think it feels dated, though?
That's what I'm saying. It's not dated to me. Wow. I mean, it still works. Okay, I know. It still works. It's a fun film. I mean, well, it's a terrible film, but it's a fun film to watch.
The dialogue it feels old. The dialogue.
Dialogue is atrocious.
No. There's one scene in this one that I'm going to be brought up
Let's get Raymond's take, because I'm assuming he really does hate this movie. Wait. When's the first time you ever watched this movie, Raymond?
About a month ago.
Oh, really? This is the first time you ever watched this movie.
Yeah, about a month ago, and then I rewatched it today.
Okay. What's your take?
You know what? I mean, look, the one thing that Richard kept saying over and over again, I agree with, is well directed. But there's only so much you can do with such a horrible piece of shit script.
Oh, man.
Come on, man.
It's awful. It's awful. It's. I'll give it this. I mean, it starts off really good. It starts off pretty good, and the cinematography in the movie is great.
Yeah, Michael Ballhaus, who did Goodfellas. He's a really great cinematographer. He's done a lot of Scorsese's films in the 90s, and I'm sure he did. I just know the Scorsese films, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's very well made. There's a lot of great moments throughout the entire movie. It's, you know, a really big production, and you definitely see all the money up on screen. I mean, Wolfgang Petersen definitely directs the hell out of the movie. I mean, it's what Richard kept saying. But I mean, the movie, like Richard was saying, also it's extremely melodramatic, and it's just, I mean, the tone for this movie is just like all over the place. It's trying to be an action movie at one point. It's trying to be a I don't know, like a soap opera another point. And the entire time it feels like a cartoon. None of the dialogue is believable. At one point, like, the movie feels like it's trying to be Missing in Action, the Chuck Norris movie, but like, with Dustin Hoffman and Cuba Gooding Jr. I mean, it's horrible. Richard mentioned the scene where like Dustin Hoffman jumps from a helicopter to a boat. It's like weird.
Get me on that ship, Saul. It can't be far. I just left this morning.
You want me to fly you out to sea, drop you onto a freighter,
Sir, with all due respect, that is idiotic.
Idiotic? Let me ask you a question. Are we fugitives from the law?
Right.
Idiocy is our only option. Find the boat.
It feels like a scene that really should have been with like Stallone or Chuck Norris. I mean, they smile at each other and give each other a thumbs up, and you hear the score go up. And
I can't land this thing on that ship, sir.
You got to get me on it.
I'll get you close enough, Colonel.
Close enough for what?
Close enough to jump, sir.
You're not serious.
All right, you fly out, jump, Colonel.
No, just get closer. Just get very close.
Yes, sir.
Closer! Get me closer!
Does anyone here speak English?
I think you're gonna appreciate it. For
I don't hate this movie. Look, okay. I don't hate this movie. It's just, I don't think it's as good as you guys are saying.
Oh, come on. Raymond, put your finger on the phone. Put your finger on the phone.
All right, Sergeant, who screwed up? Why wasn't my pilot given the new orders?
New orders?
General Ford called me 0200, told me to get my ass to Cedar Creek, California. Didn't you get the dispatch?
No, I've got you going to Albuquerque.
I'm not going to Albuquerque. I'm going to Cedar Creek, goddamn California. You get General Ford on the phone right now, and you get him to confirm. All right? No, don't get a confirmation. Give me that phone.
No, I better get a confirmation.
What, are you crazy?
Sir.
Don't you know what time it is?
It's 2:36.
That's right. You redirect on my orders. You call the tower right now, and you tell them to change my flight plans. Put your finger on the phone. Put your finger on the phone.
This could mean my stripes, sir.
It's gonna mean your ass if you don't put your finger on the phone. Finger the phone. Finger it. Thank you.
Come on, man. I mean, you have to have fun with it. Yeah, you definitely have to have fun with it to
there's appreciate. Like I was saying, there's great moments throughout the movie, but I don't. It's all over the top, comical. I mean, the movie theater scene, for example, like it's a great sequence. It's very well directed, but it almost like it's so over the top. It reminded me of the scene in Scary Movie. When Regina Hall's character is like getting stabbed and beaten to death, and everyone in the theater is just like cheering and clapping when she dies, like that's what I thought of when the movie theater sequence happened. It's just so over the top.
I know what you mean. It does feel like this kind of movie of the week kind of spectacle.
It's but Chuck Norris movie.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's well directed. That's the thing. That's my favorite. Yeah. But I think that's really the only thing you can say about this movie, that it's well directed.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. Okay. We could go further into it, but let's start doing the categories now. Rich, what is the first category?
Let's start with the originality. 10 points.
That's a tough one.
I know you're probably going to say Contagion is going to be the...
It could go either way, because, I mean, the thing you got to give Outbreak is, like, it did come out a long time ago. I mean,
yeah,
it was fresh. It was fresh back then. I don't love the script, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't an original movie. And I think that's one thing. I mean, it's tough. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, because I absolutely agree with you that Contagion probably has its originality comes from the fact that it's well researched.
Yes,
and Outbreak is more like this something happened here. Let's
exploit. It's based on the book, right?
I mean, and let's exploit. Well, I mean, the book is a nonfiction book. I mean, it was about real outbreaks in Africa,
right?
And so they were kind of exploiting that idea, but it was the first one to ever do it, I think. And also, it's in the 90s, right? So at that time, people really didn't understand viruses or pandemics.
And yeah, I was using Bond films and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were still stuck in that kind of Cold War era where the nuclear bomb was the thing. You know, we were afraid of the nuclear bomb. And I think that's why part of that third act in Outbreak is about if the military is going to firebomb the town. Because that was kind of because we're still in that mindset. We don't understand that. Because they didn't have to do all that military crap to ranch it up the tension. They could just easily just made the virus go spread out more, just like in Contagion. But we were still in that mindset of the Cold War and bombings and military bombings and stuff like that.
It reminded me a little bit of like Red Dawn. It took over the town and like that.
You mean the martial law? I mean that also martial law, that was an idea that wasn't really exploited, you know, or explored at that time. So, you know, it's really interesting.
You know, I'm going to go Outbreak.
Oh, interesting.
Originality? Wow.
Yeah. Rich, you go Contagion?
Originality? I think but I'm saying Contagion is probably more since 9/11 it had like the anthrax scare was huge too.
The H1N1 was a real thing. The swine flu and the bird flu, that was a real thing at the time.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's the first time I saw a mask being everywhere.
Yeah, and SARS. SARS was also a big thing in China. You know, it was a lot of it in Asian countries, and you know, so it was tapping into that kind of fear that we had because we were so, you know, as Americans, we're so far away from the other continents that we kind of were not. We didn't expect that this was going to happen in this country. You know.
No. Not at all.
It took it to the next level, but it was also like, you know, 20 years later.
That's true.
For me, it's that point goes to my point for originality goes to Outbreak, and I'm not even really a big fan of the movie.
I'm gonna probably go get to Contagion by I liked how both of them are originated by animals.
Yeah, one was a monkey and another one is a bat and
the pig.
And the pig.
That was a great reveal at the very end for the Contagion. Yeah. Where it's all started by a cook not washing his hands. All he does is he's cleaning out the pig.
You don't want to save that for best scene or something like that?
No, it's not one of my best scenes from Contagion. You want to save it for yours?
Well, it's not my best scene, but it was like my second best scene.
Oh, well, the cook is cleaning out the pig's mouth or whatever, and he's got the virus all over his hands, and instead of washing, the waiter comes and says, "Oh, yeah, go take photos or go meet the guests." And all he does is wipe it on his apron and walks right out, and then he just brings the virus.
Yeah, I know. It was great. That was probably the best way to end that movie. I mean, there was no other way to end that movie. It was a perfect ending.
It went full circle.
All right. So that was originality. Let's go to our next category. Rich, what's the next category? Just pick anyone.
All right, the screenplay, story, and dialogue, another 10 points.
Contagion all the way.
Yeah, Contagion all the way. I mean, look, I liked Outbreak, and I think the best parts of Outbreak when it comes to the dialogue is the interactions that Dustin Hoffman has with Morgan Freeman. I think that's the best dialogue when he kind of says, like...
people are dying. It's about you being a doctor. It's about that sacred oath that we took, remember? Billy, we've been friends for 20 years.
Yes, we're friends, Sam, but I'm also your boss. I run this outfit. It's not run by committee. You do what the hell I say do. I'm your boss. I have my boss. Is that clear to you?
Yeah. Get your boss on the phone. Don't forget who you're talking to.
And he goes, well, tell me who I'm talking to. Because I don't know who I'm talking to.
Am I talking to you, Samrat, the Pentagon, the CIA, McClintock, Dugway? Tell me who I'm talking to.
This conversation is over.
It's not great, great dialogue, but it's dialogue that they could feed from and deliver these, you know, cool back and forths. So, but yeah, Contagion all the way, though. Contagion has some of the great, you know.
Well, I mean, to me, Contagion was just authentic. Everything was believable. All the dialogue was believable. And I think that's what...
And this character is not just dialogue. This is also the story structure. But
there's also ridiculousness in Contagion also. I mean, Marion Cotillard's whole situation was stupid. I mean, the way they... it was a great character, but they ended up very
They didn't really finish her story.
Yeah,
like, no.
Like that's I feel that's something that would have worked better in a miniseries.
Yeah.
But I still think it worked enough. I mean, I had a lot of issues with that whole subplot when I originally watched it. This time, I was like, I'm okay with it.
Well, I think that,
especially after watching Outbreak,
that storyline was probably cut. There was probably a lot of it left on the editing floor, from what I heard from Soderbergh, and he said that he had at least an hour worth of footage that didn't make the cut.
He could probably release that now and it'd be a big hit.
I think so. Yeah.
He always loves re-editing movies and stuff. He'd make the 3-hour cut. I think people are ready for it.
Right. But going back to Marion Cotillard's character, the kidnapping of her character doesn't hold up.
No. I mean,
because
they had like a great idea, but it didn't fall through.
It was a great, it was a good idea, but it doesn't
I like how it started off with the whole, there was a little bit of a, they didn't want the government, the Chinese government didn't want it to get out that the virus originated came from China. Yeah. I like that. I didn't really love the second half of it, but I think the second half of it, again, could have really worked with more footage.
True. And but the reason they kidnapped her was because they thought America and the French developed a cure and they wanted to be in front of the line to get the cure. And I go, that doesn't hold up because clearly just from current events, it looked like we're Americans are going to be asking the Chinese or whoever other countries to help us out. You know, so it just doesn't hold up. In a reality, it seems like Americans would be the one kidnapping Chinese officials.
Hey man, but for everything they got accurate, I mean, it's just
that's
one
true.
Chinese.
That's
detail.
True. That's true. But I mean, I'm just saying that's one of the things that doesn't hold up, and that you could say that might hurt the script or hurt the story structure. But it's still solid film. And Outbreak is just filled with a lot of tropes, a lot of hero tropes. You know, Dustin.
But it's fun.
I know. But
it's fun in like a 80s like B movie type of way.
I mean, but like Dustin Hoffman has to be divorced, has to be getting divorced. So and Renee Russo has to be infected by the virus just to add that pressure onto his hero arc. You know, so
yeah, sure, okay. Yeah,
there's the whole line. First we fight about the dogs, now we're fighting about the virus. I can't believe it. I mean, that's the dialogue you get in the movie.
Well, I mean, there's little moments like that in all throughout the movie where it's like, you know, that one scene where Donald Sutherland and the
whole Donald Sutherland thing is horrible.
Donald Sutherland's character is probably the worst thing about Outbreak.
Sandman has a specific line to the target. If you are in his way, he cannot complete his bombing run, and that will be hell to pay. Do you understand? Over.
Billy, are you dumb or something? You just told him how to stop the...
Because it's
such a great actor.
It's such a typical military evil dude. You know, who wants to cover up everything, and you know he wants to.
Yeah,
sir, you will place General McClintock under arrest.
If I go down for this, Billy, you go down for it.
It's out of our hands now, Donnie.
You silly, sentimental son of a bitch. Nobody puts me under arrest.
For me, I have to say, Contagion has the upper hand in this one.
Yeah, by a clear mile.
Are you guys writing down your points?
Yeah.
Okay. Rich, are you writing down your points?
No.
All right, Rich, write down your points. Make sure you write down your points. The categories are originality and story, and now we're going to go on to probably direction.
I got to look for a pen and a paper now?
No, we're just typing on the computer.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So let's do direction now, okay?
All right. All right, director and cinematography, 10 points.
All right, Rich, go for it. You start it off.
Yeah. Well, I think the achievement goes to Wolfgang Peterson because that's a more harder screenplay to pull off. Yeah. Steven Soderbergh is just got it from A to B, and he knows this was a simple direction for him. But Wolfgang, that's the harder script to pay off, or whatever the direction he took with it was the harder one to achieve. And I'll give it to Wolfgang.
I 100% agree with Rich.
I would say I do agree that Wolfgang did a really good job, really great job. But I won't count out
Soderbergh. Oh, they're both well-made movies.
Yeah, but Soderbergh really has a unique style in this one. It is much more clinical, and it's done. Yeah. But it's done like in a nice precision. You know, it's done in people's point of view. Like, for instance, that death scene with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, that's going to be my best. That's my.
Well, let me just explain the direction. It was done kind of almost, you know, it was very, very nuanced. It didn't feel overly directed, and it was done. The best part of that, when she falls on the floor.
Hey, honey? Oh, Beth.
It cuts to the boy's point of view of the son.
Hey, Beth. Mom? No. Stay
Matt
there,
Damon
Clark.
Goes.
No,
it's okay, son. Just go back in your room. And it cuts to his, you know, his face, and then it cuts to his point of view. And so his direction is almost unappreciated in this film.
I appreciate it.
This movie really does belong in a series, because there's another storyline that I wanted to be stretched, and that was Elliot Gould's storyline.
Yeah.
Where he wants to find the cure, and then they put a stop to him, and then it seemed like he was getting ready to continue on or stuff like that. And
well, like I was saying, it's a Soderbergh said that he had like an hour's worth of footage that he had to cut, and it was, and you know, this movie actually, the movie's only in an hour and 50 minutes.
So yeah, they gave too much time to Jude Law.
I liked Jude Law's character a lot.
They should have just made the movie longer.
No, but to give some credit to Wolfgang Peterson, I was surprised when rewatching it. A lot of the scenes, especially like when Cuba, the scene where Cuba Gooding Jr. throws up in his mask.
Oh yeah,
that's my best scene for Outbreak.
Is it okay? So that scene was shot like a horror movie because they walk into the village. And it's like everyone's, you know, all the bodies are spread around. What's cool about that, the camera pans down slowly. That's like a 60s horror movie. It's really cool. And like, so some of those scenes, like old school zombie horror movies or something like that, you know? So, I mean, there's some really cool stuff that Wolfgang does in that movie. But I don't know, man. I think Contagion has a much...
Yeah, I think Soderbergh does a better cinematography job, and Wolfgang got the direction. But I'm giving it to the Wolfgang.
Yeah, it's going
to
be cool.
The points.
For me, it's very simple. For me, it's Contagion is obviously the better script, clearly the better script. And I feel like almost any director would have maybe not made it as good as Steven Soderbergh, but would have still made a great movie. And I feel any director... had made Outbreak, it would have been even worse.
Yes.
Okay, that's a great point. You know what? That kind of changed my. That's a great point. Yeah, I think the movie works because of Wolfgang's direction.
Yeah, he's the only good thing about the movie. Yeah,
that's what I've been saying.
All right, let's get to the next category, which is what?
Acting in general.
Now, this is by hands down for me. It's Outbreak.
Really?
It's Outbreak.
No way.
Dustin Hoffman's interactions with Morgan Freeman are fantastic. Look, this dialogue is crap. Yes, I understand. Dustin Hoffman is great. Even Kevin Spacey being a prick in the movie, you know, like as he does in almost every movie he does. He's a great prick. Cuba Gooding Jr. as like this hotshot helicopter pilot who, you know, throws up in his suit, you know, really good stuff. But I think the best, and this is the reason I'm pushing Outbreak, is because of the uncredited
scene
with J.T. Walsh, and
the late great J.T.
and
Walsh.
he plays the president's chief of staff, and basically he comes into the room and he says, you know, he's saying that we have to
firebomb the town of Cedar Creek, California, population 2,600, with something called a fuel air bomb, the most powerful non-nuclear weapon in our arsenal. The way it works, it explodes, sucks in all available oxygen to the core, vaporizes everything within a mile of ground zero, men, women, children, and one airborne virus. Destruction complete, case closed, crisis over. So, couple things before clean sweep is even considered. One, unanimous, unwavering support for the president on this one. And I mean public. You're going to stand there shoulder to shoulder with him. He goes down, you go down. And the second thing is, I want an army of experts citing hundreds and thousands of lab experiments telling any idiot with a camera that there was no other way.
And he's like saying, I don't want to hear anybody in this room saying that you're going to go off and sneak off and talk to the press. Post,
telling them how they were the sole voice of opposition. If there is a voice of opposition out there, I want him in here now.
It's a masterclass of an acting job of just a cameo.
Yeah.
And he made that scene work. He made the film better. He lifted the stakes higher. And it was a fantastic acted piece of work. And I'm telling you, someone rewrote that scene. Because it's a great written scene, and J.T. Walsh kills it.
Those are the citizens of Cedar Creek. Go on, look at them. These are not statistics, ladies and gentlemen. They're flesh and blood. And I want you to burn those into your memories. Because those images should haunt us till the day we die.
And I would say Outbreak has the...
one of his finest scenes in of his career, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's uncredited.
Uncredited. Who, Raymond, you want to talk about Contagion?
No, I want to say really quick, I think there's also a lot of really bad acting in Outbreak. Like, a lot of really bad acting throughout the entire movie from a lot of the supporting cast. And I actually don't think Dustin Hoffman's very good in the movie. What? No, I feel Dustin Hoffman a lot of the times throughout the movie. It kind of just feels like that he wants to be in a comedy. I feel like
that's his delivery. That's how it is.
No, he is definitely having fun. I think he's definitely having fun. Yeah, he's not playing it serious. He's having fun.
I'll bring up the moment I mentioned earlier about the we're arguing about the dog. Now we argue about the virus.
There's stuff like that
throughout the entire movie. And I don't know. Maybe it's a script, or like maybe even it could say a direction thing, but I just feel like he's constantly like in a comedy, or he's like in an action movie, or like it's all over the place, and I think there's no consistency. And I personally didn't like Dustin Hoffman.
All right, well, let's talk about Contagion then. I mean, because there are some really understated acting in there. It's not flashy. All the parts in that film are not flashy. It's all understated. It feels all real. And I think maybe that's even harder. But I think the best actor in Contagion is Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
I think her character was so heroic and so, you know, the way she ends up is so, I felt for her more than anyone else in that movie. That was a fantastic performance.
Sure. Yeah, I agree about that. But Matt Damon also did a great job, I think.
Yeah, so. This is one of his best performances.
Yeah.
I would disagree, but go ahead. Finish. I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, I want to bring it up in the death scene. I mean, the Gwyneth Paltrow's. That's probably my best scene and my obviously the best death scene for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rich on that one also.
Yeah, well, for me, I felt his acting was not that great. I just didn't feel it.
Oh, really? I could maybe see you making the argument, some of the stuff with the daughter and the boyfriend and stuff like that. But the scene in the hospital between the doctor, I think, is some of the finest acting Matt Damon has done in his entire career.
Her heart stopped, and unfortunately, she did die. I'm sorry, Mr. Emhoff.
Okay. Can I go talk to her?
Mr. Emhoff, I'm sorry. Your wife is dead.
I mean, I just saw her. We were just at home.
Is there somebody that we can call? Someone who you think should be here with you?
We had dinner. We had pizza. She said she was jet lagged.
You mentioned that she was away. Hong Kong? We checked the latest bulletins. The only things there were measles and H1N1. And this was not that.
Then what was it?
We don't always know. I mean, my best guess is that this was either meningitis or encephalitis. And with encephalitis, we're in the dark a lot of the time. If it was summer, I might say a bug bite. You know, West Nile. Herpes can cause encephalitis.
She didn't have herpes. What are you talking about? Okay. What happened to her? What happened to her?
Okay.
I felt it. I really felt it. I felt like he was like just completely in the moment, completely just lost and like bewildered by everything. I bought that he was just like really in shock by this and just couldn't accept it.
I don't know. Maybe I wanted something more from the character, but I'll give you this. Jennifer Ely.
Yeah.
She was fantastic as Dr. Ali Hextall, and as this, another heroic character who kind of, she injects herself with the...
Yeah, she found the cure.
Yeah, she injects herself with the cure. And she was really, and really strong. Father, really strong. Yeah, with the father scene. That was fantastic.
I'm testing my vaccine.
This is different. I don't want to get you sick. Ellie, you can't take that chance.
Oh, Dad. You're here because you stayed in your practice treating sick people after everyone else went home. You took that chance. You took that chance every day.
I like Jude Law. I don't know about you guys. I really love Jude Law's performance in this film.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little bit too much of a Julian Assange character, like trying to expose the virus and just to make a name for himself, and they made him into a dick, and he was then. So
yeah, and also he was a profiteer. He sold that medicine.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was a fake cure. I know, that's why I liked about it. He was a scumbag, and I think there's
He was a good scumbag. I agree with you.
He was Alex Jones.
He was Alex Jones. But when he was talking about Big Pharma and how they're corrupt, I'm like, yeah, I agree with him. And like in the government, are corrupt.
He's good at manipulating people, just like the people today, I guess.
But I think the best scene with Jude Law is when he's talking to the newscaster and he goes, it's a billion sick in 3 months. It's a math problem that you could do on a napkin. That's where we're headed.
On day one, there were two people with it. And then there were four. And then it was 16. And you think you've got it in front of you. But next it's 256. And then it's 65,000. And it's behind you and above you and all around you. In 30 steps, it's a billion sick. 3 months. It's a math problem you can do on a napkin. And that's where we're headed. And that's why you won't even tell us the number of the dead, will you, Dr. Cheever? But you'll tell your friends when to get out of Chicago before anyone else has a chance.
He turned a little role into a memorable character, man. Jude Law is probably the best character in the whole movie because he's such an outrageous character and a creep and a con man. But I think he also talks some truth about, you know, you can't trust everyone. You can't trust the government, man. You can't trust Big Pharma. But there's great acting in both of these movies. But, you know, can I really real quick explain one person who needs to be pointed out in Outbreak?
Patrick Dempsey.
No. Jimbo? The great Jimbo? No. No.
The monkey?
No. The monkey's really good. No, there's the guy. There's a small character in Outbreak where it's the Cedar Creek doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And because I rewatched it today also. And I didn't appreciate it when I first saw it, but he has some killer lines in this movie. And we see him working on the pet store owner's body when he collapses in and he's rushed into the hospital and he's like, Rudy, can you hear me? It looks like toxic shock. And the nurse comes in and says, I've been reading about these bad cases in Newsweek.
Maybe I should subscribe. Henry, get me a blood culture, chemistry profile, and a blood count. God damn it. Come on, Rudy.
I mean, it's like he has these one-liners that he kills. And there's another scene where a nurse comes into his office and he goes, the nurse goes,
they keep coming in. What's wrong with these people?
I don't know, Emma. I don't know. Give me the county health department now.
I mean, this guy, I should name his name. It's Bruce Jarko.
I'll take your word for it.
Yes, I think it's pronounced Jarko. Bruce Jarko. And he did a couple TV appearances. He's not really a big actor. I think the only thing I really recognize him, he was in The Weatherman with Nick Nolte. Not Nick Nolte. With Nicolas Cage. The Weatherman. And he's the guy who says, I don't like his face. He has an asshole face.
What kind of name is Spritz? It's a bullshit name. It's a TV name. He's bullshit.
No, I like him. He's handsome.
He's an asshole. I don't like his face. Maybe Sunday night. His asshole face.
And he killed that line too. He's like one of these guys who just kills the lines, man. So big props to Bruce Jarko. Jarko, I think that's his name. I'm sorry if I butcher your name, but we appreciate you. All right.
I was acting.
So let's you write down your points for acting. How many more categories left?
Two. 15 points for best scene.
Well, we'll start with Contagion. What's your best scene in Contagion, Rich?
The death scene, Gwyneth Paltrow.
If by that death scene, you're also counting the encounter with Matt Damon and the doctor? That's all connected?
From she has a seizure all the way to her autopsy. Both.
Oh, that's a long. That's a.
All right, Ben. All right, the best scene is the autopsy, and the best death scene is her falling down with the seizure. There you go.
All right, wait. Well, we'll just start with the best scene. So you're saying the best scene is the autopsy of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, this is for Contagion only, so yeah. Yeah.
Well, assault sire obliterated. Let's look at the base.
Oh my god.
You want me to take a sample? Or?
Yeah, I want you to move away from the table.
Should I call someone?
Call everyone.
All right, Raymond, what's your best scene in Contagion?
For me, it's your most hated scene, and it's the scene that's slightly...
The prom scene? Like,
no, it was kind of right next to Richard's scene, which is the encounter with Matt Damon, Doctor, because his performance is so realistic to me, and it's, I think, really the finest acting of his career.
He was in shock.
That's the best scene for me. But really quick, my honorable mention, because we brought it up earlier, my second favorite scene is when the big reveal, the final shot.
That's
final
true.
Scene.
Well, yeah. I'm saying that I'm probably going to pick that as my favorite scene.
Okay.
The final sequence. I think that's the perfect way you end that movie. It's wordless. There's no dialogue. It's just a bunch of sequences of we see the bat dropping, I guess, poop or some kind of food or something. And then the
guava.
Yeah, and pigs eating it up. And then the pigs are taken away to the factory. And then it gets cut into pieces. And then it comes to the cook shaking hands with Gwyneth Paltrow. And I think that's the absolutely the perfect way to end a movie like that. And I think that was my best scene. All right, let's. So you're saying autopsy, I'm saying the end sequence, and you're saying Matt Damon's him with the doctor.
Yes.
All right, now let's go Outbreak. What's your favorite scene, Rich? Your favorite scene in Outbreak?
It's probably the the movie theater.
Okay, yeah, sure. I think I like the scene in Outbreak, you know, when like Michael was describing earlier, when they're all arriving in Africa for the first time, and they're in the radiation suits. Mm. They're in the radiation suits, and it's a very horrifying scene. It's the first. It's I think the only scene in the movie that really kind of has almost like any shock or weight to it, and not all. It's the only scene that kind of feels like I don't know. That felt kind of real to me. And then in the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's very horrifying. It's very horrifying as it goes on. And then Cuba Gooding Jr. throws up in his radiation
and
suit.
And then he goes, I can't. And he goes, don't let him take him off. Don't let him take off the helmet.
He's losing it. No, just keep hang on.
Salt, don't take your helmet off. Keep your helmet, Casey.
Keep
his helmet on. Keep his helmet on. No. Don't let him expose himself, Casey. God damn it! Isolate him! Isolate him!
Yeah, and then we get the big reveal that it's not airborne.
It's not airborne.
That's a good scene. I like that scene too. For me, it's only one scene. There's only one scene that it's worth the best scene.
You mean other than JT Walsh scene?
Oh, yeah, JT. Well, that's. You know what? I forgot about JT Walsh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, for me, what crystallizes the whole movie is the monkey getting shot by the tranquilizer. It's got to be that.
Yeah.
There you are. Here, Betsy. Betsy, come on. Here, Betsy. Here, Betsy.
You know, especially when he gets shot and he has that one close-up, you know, shot where he's like, That is the best. Okay, let's finish this up with the best death scene in each movie. Let's start with Outbreak. Rich, what's the best death scene in Outbreak for you?
Best death scene on Outbreak is the monkey.
he doesn't die.
All right, doesn't. All right.
The best death scene in Outbreak is Patrick Dempsey, right?
It's a good scene, yeah. Is that going to be your pick?
I think so, yeah.
Jimbo, can you hear me? Jimbo. We're here to help you, but we need to know how you got sick. Can you talk to me? Jimbo? Hello? Jimbo, were you in contact with any animals?
He's dead, isn't he? Oh, God, honey. Please, please.
Alice, we're doing what we can, but I need you to help me.
Jimbo,
I need you to look at me, Alice.
To me.
Alice, did Jimbo tell you anything?
Oh,
did he
God.
Talk to you?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
For me, it's the pet store owner. And when he collapses, it's the fish tanks all explode. It's like one of the most dramatic scenes. And also it transitions to that great scene with the doctor where he goes, Rudy, come, speak to me, Rudy.
Morning, Rudy. Lucretia won't touch those shredded beef wafers, so we'll have to go back to the veal.
What's wrong?
Rudy, can you hear me? Come on, Rudy, help me out here. Squeeze my hand.
But I thought, Rich, I thought you were going to pick Kevin Spacey.
Nah, I'd rather shoot. Best death scenes is the hillbillies getting shot by the helicopter.
when they try and escape.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, shit. They're bluffing. Keep going. Keep going.
You have entered a restricted area. We will fire. This is your last warning.
Damn. Jesus Christ. Shoot.
Now let's go to Contagion. What is Contagion's best death scene, Raymond?
Contagion's best death scene. I actually like when the I forgot if he was a waiter, the Asian
Hong
waiter.
Kong waiter.
Yes, mm-hmm. I love how it starts off on the subway, or I don't remember exactly where stuff up, but he's eventually on I don't remember if it was subway or on a bus.
He's like on the marketplace.
He's coughing on everyone. And for me, it's like kind of the more realistic version of the movie theater sequence in Outbreak. You know, he's coughing on everyone, but it's not like necessarily over the top. It's kind of very believable. And then he's just like, you know, very drowsy. He starts sweating really bad, and then he like gets hit by the bus eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was probably that's my favorite, because it's shocking also. I mean, it feels like kind of like if you were to see something that happened in real life, it almost has a documentary vibe to it.
Rich, what's your best death scene in Contagion?
Gwyneth Paltrow dying. That's it. Hands down.
Yes, Beth.
Can you hear me? My name's Dr. Arrington. You're in the hospital.
She wasn't feeling well, and then this morning.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth. Have you had something like that before?
She have a history of seizures?
No.
Allergies, other medical problems?
I think she's allergic to penicillin.
She fall recently, hit her head in the shower?
No. She came back from a trip, and she
what about drugs? MDMA? Ecstasy?
No, we don't do that.
Okay, let's get some help.
Beth.
Sir, you have to go.
Let's get a line in her.
All right. My best death scene for Contagion is got to be Kate Winslet's death. It's awesome because it starts off with her getting sick. You know, she starts coughing in the morning.
No.
And then she progressively gets worse, and then she's in a bed in a makeshift hospital. Besides her is a man who's dying, and he's complaining about being cold, and he's asking for a blanket.
Oh, and I get another blanket. This one is very damp now.
I'm truly sorry, sir. We're out of blankets. We're hoping for more to be donated. We put the word out.
What about the heat? Can we turn that up?
I'll find out.
And she gives him her coat, but she doesn't make it, you know. It's a heroic act of kindness from her, and I think it's the best death scene. It's a heroic one. So my vote is Kate Winslet.
It's a good one.
Fine.
I actually, if we're gonna nominate one, I mean, clearly the death scene I chose is my favorite, but. I would nominate Richards because I think that is one of the best things in the movie.
Her whole scene with when she gets it,
it's incredible.
Yeah, it's all the way from her seizure on the falling on the kitchen floor.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Down to her on the slab getting autopsy.
Yeah, it's a horrifying scene. Yeah,
and also how like Michael was brought up earlier, you get like different perspectives and all in that one single moment. It's a fantastic sequence.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's break it down. Let's reveal our points for originality. Contagion, I gave it an 8. Raymond, what's your point for Contagion?
I gave it a 7.
And Rich, what's your points?
10. What? Ten points.
Okay, originality for Outbreak, I give it an 8. Raymond, originality for Outbreak?
An 8.
Rich, Outbreak, originality?
10. I didn't know what the hell you were doing. 10, 10, 10.
What the? Okay. All right, story. Contagion, I give it an 8. And Outbreak, I give it a 6. Raymond, for story, for the category of story, what's your points for Contagion and Outbreak?
Outbreak, I gave a 2, and Contagion, I gave a 10.
Okay, Rich, story.
10.
For what? For what movie?
Everything.
What?
Every category. I don't know your points. Your points thing. Up until the end, I didn't know it.
So, all right.
I wrote down 10.
Fuck it. Direction. Contagion, I give it a 7. Outbreak, I give it an 8. Raymond, what was for direction category, your points?
Directing, I gave Outbreak a 9. And for Contagion, I gave it an 8.
Okay. Rich, direction.
10. You didn't tell me the rules until the last the best scene anyway.
All right. Acting, under the acting category, I give Contagion a 6 and I give Outbreak a 7. Raymond, go for it.
I gave Outbreak a 5 and I gave Contagion a 9.
Okay. Rich, 10-10?
10. I have no idea what the hell.
Best scene, Contagion, I give 15. And Outbreak, I give 10.
I gave Contagion 5, and I gave Outbreak 10.
And best scene for Raymond, what's your points?
I gave them both 15.
Oh. Best death, Contagion, I give 13, and I give Outbreak an 8. Raymond?
I gave Outbreak an 8, and I gave Contagion a 10.
Okay, Rich, for best death.
15, Contagion. If I could give him 30, I'll give him 30, because I don't understand this outcome.
And Outbreak?
0.
What?
I didn't understand your point system, so who cares?
All right. Do you want to do it over and come up with
No, 40-30, that's fine. Contagion's got the win for me. There you go.
Raymond, what's your point? Okay, we're going to figure this out. Okay. Raymond, give me your points.
My total for Contagion was 59.
And Outbreak?
47.
And what was yours, Rich?
40-30. Contagion, Outbreak.
Let me count this up. Okay. Counting up the points. Big suspense.
Contagion won, right?
Okay. After much deliberation, here are the points. Outbreak with 124 points. Contagion with 156. Contagion is the winner.
What a shock.
It was not even that close. Contagion is a much better film. We kind of agree that it had better the story, and because of the originality.
Best scene.
The best scene really took the points. I think there's goes without saying that Contagion is the better film. So we can now officially say Contagion is the better film. Right?
Right. Goodbye.
All right. That was this episode of Inside Flicks, Cinema Thunderdome Style. Thank you for listening to this Inside Flicks. We'll be back with another episode really soon. Go to insideflicks.com if you want to listen to the rest of our other episodes. And bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All right. Bye-bye.